Welcome to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations. I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of Career Cycles, a career management social enterprise. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz. How can you reap the benefits of online communities, engage with employers, collaborators, clients, and colleagues, and showcase professional expertise? I'm delighted to have Danielle Restivo, Manager of Corporate Communications for Canada and Brazil at LinkedIn, as our guest. Danielle's going to share tips and strategies for making the most of your LinkedIn membership, and we'll hear her own career story in public relations and social media marketing. Danielle Restivo joins me live in the studio. Welcome to Career Buzz, Danielle.
Thanks, Mark. I'm glad to be here.
What do you like about your career?
Well, I feel very fortunate to have landed at LinkedIn. It was a really great, I felt, way for me to advance my career into a great corporation. And what I really love about LinkedIn is that I feel I have a chance to help people every day take control of their careers and potentially find their dream job. And the great thing about LinkedIn is it's not just a job site. So it's not just about helping people find jobs, but also helping them be more productive and successful in the jobs they have now.
Nice. Sounds like you're doing lots of fun stuff. What do you do as the manager of communications? What's a typical week look like for you?
So really, I act as a spokesperson for LinkedIn in Canada. I'm also lucky enough to work on Brazil, so I've been able to go down to Brazil several times, which is exciting.
How's your Portuguese?
It's coming along. I've been studying Portuguese for about 8 months now. And I basically deal with media on a regular basis, and I also handle all of our external speaking engagements. So anytime we're going to go out in the public and talk about LinkedIn. And then I do interviews such as these, where I help kind of spread the word about LinkedIn and how it can be of great benefit to professionals all over the country.
When you're doing your job as a communications expert, what are the skills and strengths that you draw on daily?
I think some of them have to do with being really comfortable in talking about the brand that you work for. And that's one of the things that attracted me to working at LinkedIn, is that I knew I had great confidence that I could go out and talk about LinkedIn and I would be thrilled to do so because I really believed in the brand. So I think being comfortable enough to communicate in front of large groups of people, one-on-one, doing interviews in which, you know, you feel that you're in that comfort zone is really important. And then, of course, having those skills along with writing is also important. Being able to explain, you know, what the brand does, what value it has, and being able to disseminate that to media and stakeholders is also very key.
Great. We're talking to Danielle Restivo here. She is the Manager of Corporate Communications for Canada and Brazil at LinkedIn. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, here on Career Buzz, 89.5 FM in the Toronto area, and also worldwide online at CIUT.FM. So, Danielle, you've had this career within the communications, public relations, and social media marketing world. Let me ask you a little bit about your career story, and then we'll get into tips and strategies for listeners. How did you get into this field in the first place?
So I have a degree in English language. I went to Wilfrid Laurier University. And when I was graduating, everyone asked me if I was going to become an English professor. And I had no interest in becoming an English professor. I actually wanted to go into book publishing. And one of the things that I learned as I went along is that the publishing industry was struggling a little bit. And so I made a snap decision to go into PR. I assumed that I could take my writing skills and my communication skills, and I happen to be a fairly outgoing person, so that helps, and take that into the PR industry. So I started off in a very traditional PR role. I worked for several PR agencies where I had numerous clients and I was helping them with their communications goals. And as social media started to really become a driving force in marketing and communications and PR, I felt that it was time to shift my skills and gain some new skills so that I could be competitive in the market.
Isn't it funny? A moment ago, you said everybody asked you if you were going to be an English professor because you were studying English, as if that's the only thing that you can do with an English degree. You know, we've talked so much about this on Career Buzz and in my company, Career Cycles. We're talking about it all the time. Can you help us, and maybe listeners who are trying to understand these transferable skills, the things that you learn in an English degree? You studied English at Laurier, and you got all these skills, yet nobody could see their way out of that box of, gee, English degree equals English professor, and how limited that is. What did you gain from your degree that you use on a regular basis?
I think what was important from that degree was really critical thinking, being able to think strategically and being able to take a lot of information and disseminate it into paper form. So I wrote a lot of essays, and let me tell you, I could summarize the plot of every Jane Austen novel ever written. That's not necessarily a transferable skill. But being able to communicate and also give presentations, and a lot of them in university I had to give on the fly, really helped me. So what I ended up doing is when I left university, I did a year at college. I went to Humber to do a PR program. And what I really believe is that it is important to have that basis. That degree was so important for me, but then I had to go and gain some practical skills, sort of that on-the-job training that was going to set me up for success.
Great. Thanks for sharing that story and also for saying about the post-diploma program. I think that's a real winning combination. Many people are doing that, the undergrad degree with some job-ready skills with these post-diploma programs that you're sitting there with other university grads. It's not like you're sitting there with people fresh out of high school, right? Just to clarify.
Exactly. And the great thing is they have some really great internships, so you get your foot in the door, and that's so important when you're graduating.
Right on. Now, you're working for a really great company, a great brand. Almost everybody listening probably either is on LinkedIn or knows about it. How did you get the great job at LinkedIn?
So interestingly, my husband works for a market research firm, and my now boss came in to speak to his firm about LinkedIn. And he came home and said, LinkedIn is just, you know, I love it more every day. And, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if you could ever work there? So he actually made some introductions for me using LinkedIn, and I was able to meet my now boss, reach out to her. And it turns out she was looking for someone to take over for her in Canada. So we talked back and forth. I interviewed and amazingly got the job. And it was one of those things where I wasn't even sure if I should get in touch with her because I thought so many people will want this job. You know, I'll be competing with so many people. And my husband said, you have to go for it because if you don't, you'll never know. That sort of Wayne Gretzky quote of you miss all the goals you don't take.
Right,
yeah,
right.
So
that's a great story. Just a couple of things about that. First of all, was there a job posting?
No job posting.
All right, so I want everybody to hear that, right? Like, there was no job posting, so you reached out to this individual, a connection through your husband and through a couple of people, and it turns out that they were looking even though there was no job posting.
That's right. I've actually never gotten a job through a job posting. My first job out of school was through an internship, but after that, it was all the people that I'd met through school or through my professional connections that have gotten me the jobs that I've had. So in the last, I think, six positions I've had, they have all been as a result of relationships and networking.
So great to hear. You know, we hear so much about the so-called hidden job market, and you're living proof that you can actually get through those connections and even using tools like LinkedIn. So the other thing about that struck me, you know, you were almost not going to do it, right? You were almost not going to follow up. And yet here's the influence of other people. Often in our careers and lives, we have influences of husbands, of parents, of whomever. What did your husband say that pushed you over that little, gee, you know, I'm getting out of my comfort zone a tiny bit. I'm going to reach out to somebody. I don't even know if there's a job there, but you did it. What was that pushed you over?
I think it was the desire to work for a brand like that. I really wanted to spread my wings. I had been in agencies for almost 10 years. I felt that, you know, it would be a great opportunity to work in a corporate PR position, but also it's LinkedIn. And I think as much as it deterred me thinking, will I ever get in to work there, my excitement over the brand, you know, gave me that extra push at the end to say, you know what, it's always worth giving it a shot.
Great advice. I hope everybody listening takes heed of that advice. We're talking to Danielle Restivo here. She is the Manager of Corporate Communications for Canada and Brazil at LinkedIn here in a LinkedIn office in Toronto.
That's right.
Right. So thanks for telling us a bit about your career story. I'd now like to shift into talking a little bit about LinkedIn and have listeners learn a little bit about what we can learn about tips and strategies. And also, listeners, if you're curious and if you have a comment or question, I invite you either through email or phone to give us a call, and we'll put you on the air with a comment or question. If you want to call us, it's 416-946-7000, 416-946-7000, or email me at mark, with a K, mark, at careercycles.com, and we'll put your comment or question on the air. Now, Danielle, first thing, for maybe some listeners who aren't as familiar with using social media to build an online network, what are the main benefits? Just stepping back a little bit, if listeners who aren't as familiar, they know LinkedIn, but they're not really on it, and they're thinking, why bother? Why should they bother?
One of the questions I get a lot from people is, I'm always getting invitations to connect to someone on LinkedIn in my inbox. You know, why do I need to do that? I don't understand. It's just piling up in my email. And I would argue that your network is one of the most important things you can nurture, because you never know where your next job is going to come from. And you never know when you're going to need your next job. You know, companies change all the time. People can get laid off. You never know when that's going to happen. And having that network in place is like your safety net. These are people that you can reach out to and ask, do they know of any opportunities? They might know someone. One of the things we talk about a lot at LinkedIn is it's not necessarily even who you know, but it's your second and third degree network. So the people that you know, who do they know and who do they know? So really having that first degree network in place is so important, because there's so many other people that you're then connected to that could potentially help you in future.
Right on. Okay, so it's this sort of, I like the way you put it, it's a kind of safety net for your career, for your employment. And you are living proof of that, because you got jobs through people that you met either through LinkedIn or elsewhere in your network.
Absolutely. And it can seem a little daunting. I mean, it's easy for me to go on the radio and say, you know, you need to build a strong network and it's really important to have it. But a lot of people will wonder where to start. And I think one of the easiest things to think about is, who have you worked with in past? So who were past colleagues, past managers? Are there vendors or suppliers that you've dealt with in past? People that you went to school with? I just once took a weekend and sat down and thought about all of the people that I had in some way touched in my professional career, in my life. And it's amazing how quickly that list will grow. And one of the things at LinkedIn we talk about is, you know, connecting to people that you know and trust. It's not a race to get to, you know, whoever has the most connections. It should be about quality, not quantity. Because again, these are people you want to reach out to in future if you need something or if you want to help them.
All right. I want to come back to that quality versus quantity, because you do see people who are just inviting all kinds of people into their networks. And like we've just said, there are some people who continually receive requests, even though they don't even have a LinkedIn membership or profile yet. But before we go there, let's just think about who's on LinkedIn and who's looking at our profiles, right? Especially from a career and employment perspective. You know, we have professionals on the one hand putting their profiles up. We have recruiters. We have internal recruiters. We have third-party recruiters. Who's in the LinkedIn universe when it comes to employment and career building?
So not everyone may know, but LinkedIn is a publicly traded company, so we have to have lines of revenue. And one of our lines of revenue is we actually sell tools to recruiters to help find top talent. And one of our value propositions is that, you know, typically when recruiters used to post up a job, they would only hope that the right person would apply for that job. But now with LinkedIn, they can actively look for the right person. And it's what we call passive candidates. So it may be that you're working in a job and you're perfectly happy, but if a recruiter were to come and find you on LinkedIn and offer you a job that's even better than the one you have now, you might be tempted to go. So there are recruiters all the time looking for candidates. They're looking for very specific attributes. They're looking for descriptions, skills, background, education that fit a very specific job description that they may have open at the time. So having your profile always at the ready, I would call it, is really important, because there could be a recruiter looking at you at any time. We actually had a member get in touch with us just yesterday to say that she went to one of our events. She learned more about how to get her LinkedIn profile really complete, went home and did that, and 2 days later got contacted by a recruiter for an incredible job that she's now accepted. And that all happened within a week. So you never know who's looking at your profile.
All right. So there's this passive candidates approach, right? And I think, there's sort of this wishful thinking that in your career, if you want to build your career, you just sort of sit around and wait and something great is going to happen to you. And that, in fact, may happen, right? So first reason to build your profile and get it right is for that. Now, let's just shift into the more proactive zone here for a moment, because people can do things proactively. So what are some of those things that people can then use their LinkedIn membership and their network to do from a more proactive stance?
So I think, you know, as professionals, we should all be thinking about ourselves as entrepreneurs, even if we work for a company. So we are each our own business, our own personal brand. So if you want to take control of that brand and really be a really solid entrepreneur, you're going to do whatever it takes and you're going to be active. So there's a few things you can do on LinkedIn to do that. Obviously, having a complete profile is sort of the basis, right? That's really going to help you if people are looking for you. But it's also about building your network and reaching out to that network on a regular basis. You don't always want to be asking people to do a favor for you. You also want to be looking at ways you can do favors for others so that when the time comes, you know, you may have to go to them for a favor and you've helped them if you know they're searching for a job or they need something. There's also a number of groups on LinkedIn that are related to industries, and this is a great place to meet new people and expand your network. You know, there are often job postings in groups. For example, if you worked in the real estate industry and you joined a real estate group that's, you know, local, it's in Ontario, you could actually share best practices with other professionals. You could see if there are areas where you should be spending more time. You could meet new connections that, again, may help you have a different job down the road. So it really is important to do that.
So groups is a really interesting aspect. I've personally found that as well. So let's talk a little bit about groups, because you could join hundreds or thousands of them, or you could join one. There's so many different groups. Say for instance, alumni groups, right? Because I know, say, the University of Toronto will have an active alumni group, and even probably specialized groups, the engineering group and so on. How many groups does it make sense to join? How can you actually, you know, when people look at your profile and they say, gee, you know, Danielle, she's involved in 5 groups or 50 groups, and what does that say to people? How many groups can we actually manage? How good is it to have a lot or a little number of groups?
Well, we actually do limit the number of groups you can join for that reason. So you can only join 50.
50.
That's the limit. Because we really believe that after 50, you're not really getting the kind of quality interaction that you'd want. So again, I think, you know, the same tenet applies to the network as it does to groups. It's quality over quantity. So I think, you know, you can't spend really quality time, you know, in too many groups because you're not going to get the benefits of that. I think what the best thing to do is to do some searches by name, by industry, and then narrow it down by location. And then take some time to observe those groups. What are people talking about? Do you have something to add to the conversation? You know, do you think that there are some like-minded professionals in that group that you may want to meet and get to know better? If you don't feel it's going to be of value to you, then it's not worth your time to stick around. So I really always do recommend to observe for a bit and then get involved and really, you know, be selective about the ones you think are going to be best for your career. But again, even if you're not looking for a new job, groups are a great way to keep your expertise up. And that's thinking like an entrepreneur. You always want to keep growing your skills and developing as a professional, even if you want to stay in the job you have now, because that's going to make you a more impressive candidate for promotions, for moving up in your current career, and you're going to be a better asset to your company.
And even just being in the group makes you visible. I know, for instance, there was one in the careers field. I've searched around and kind of done what you've said and found the groups that seem relevant. Some are way more active than others.
Yes.
And I can ask you about that in a minute. But sometimes just being visible. So often people feel like they want to observe and then they end up just sticking around and observing and they don't pitch in. I know a few times when I've really pitched into one discussion because I really cared about the topic, and offline afterwards, people got in touch with me about things that I wanted them to get in touch with me about, stuff that was relevant to my business. What about that? What kind of advice can you give to people about being active and visible once they actually get into that group?
I think that's very important. And, you know, there are some folks out there who may not be comfortable with this idea of networking. It makes it sound like you have to go to a cocktail party and work the room. And, you know, if you're someone who's a bit shy, that can be harder. I actually think groups are the perfect way to do that, right? You're not actually having to leave the house. You can, you know, be working on other things and take part in that group. And I think being active is so important because, again, you're showcasing your professional brand. You might have a chance to showcase your expertise. You don't want to go in there and do any kind of hard selling of yourself, but you do want to show, you know, what you have to add to the conversation. And then I think by extension, if you think about how you do that in a group, you may also want to think about how you do that in your own status update on LinkedIn. So what are you sharing with your network? Are you reading articles? Do you have thoughts on them? Are there events that you're speaking at? Are there projects that you're working on? Those are opportunities to either share that information with members of your group or with your network by using your status update. So if you're always in that mindset of, I'm showcasing my expertise as a professional, that does a really great job of helping to guide your activities.
Great. We're talking to Danielle Restivo here. She's the manager of Corporate communications for LinkedIn in Canada and Brazil here on Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on 89.5 FM in Toronto and worldwide at CIUT.FM. If you do have comments or questions, you can give us a call give us a call right here at 416-946-7000, 416-946-7000, or drop me an email. It's mark@careercycles.com, and we'll bring your comments or questions on the air and see what we can do about helping you figure out how to leverage LinkedIn and to make it really effective and useful for you. So for people who really want to fine-tune their profile, Danielle, you gave us an example a little while ago of somebody who went and they fine-tuned their profile, and then suddenly all of a sudden these recruiters are knocking down their door. Can we just start with the basic stuff, like putting your name and getting that little headline up there, right? And I know, you know, people are searching, and sometimes you search on somebody's name, even just in Google, and up comes their LinkedIn profile. And so it seems that there are certain things in your profile that are much more important than others, and that headline seems to be key. What kind of tips and strategies can you share about getting a really effective headline, putting your name there? Should you put your degrees and all of that stuff in the headline so it's not too general, but it's not too specific?
Yeah, so there's a few things to think about with the profile. The headline is very important because it is what people see first when they search for you on LinkedIn. So your headline can either be what you do. So for example, if you're a marketing professional, you could say, you know, marketing professional working in XY field, or it can be your position. So on my profile, I have my title, Manager of Corporate Communications. So that headline is really key, so you want to give some thought to that. One other comment I wanted to make is having a photo on your LinkedIn profile. We've actually done research that shows that you're 7 times more likely to have your profile viewed if you have a photo. And that's compelling. You know, you when people are looking for you, especially if they're going to reach out to you and want to have a coffee meeting or want to talk to you more, if you're just a floating gray head, you know, they don't feel that same sense of trust. So it is good to have that photo on there.
Can I ask you a question about the photo?
Yes.
You know, I mean, I've been working in this field for a long time. I've even worked at the University of Toronto's Career Center. You know, and in general, when you talk about Canadian or North American standards for resumes or CVs, you would never have a photo. And you would just say, don't do it. It's not done. In Europe, they do it. You know, they put all kinds of personal information. They put a little photo there, but it wasn't done in Canada or the States. And now we have LinkedIn where, you know, a lot of people are putting their photo. The concern, I guess, is that people are going to use that for some reasons to kind of sift candidates by appearance, which we don't want to have happen. So, you know, you want to put your best foot forward. You want to shine a light on the best you possible. What about that discrepancy between no pictures on resumes or CVs, and yet here we have the idea that you're going to be much more effective on LinkedIn with a photo?
I would argue that, you know, given the rise of social media, your photo is out there. Right? So people are going to find you no matter what. And employers are doing research on you online. They're Googling your name and they're going to find you. So, you know, in putting your best foot forward, if you have a professional photo that you can put on your profile, again, that helps people to understand who you are. I mean, we haven't actually had any feedback from members that have said, you know, they've found that photo has been a detriment to them. You know, because it is a social site and people are talking to each other and making connections, we find it actually does build that sense of trust, you know, among members, that they can see who you are and who you're talking to. So, you know, we do feel that that's an important aspect. A couple of other things to think about. You really want to think about having a really strong summary in your profile. So on a paper resume, this might be your objective statement or, you know, that one sentence that talks about you. But you have a bit more room in LinkedIn, so you can talk about your summary. You know, who are you as a professional? What drives you and what have you achieved? One of the things we do every year at LinkedIn is we actually put out data that shows what are the most overused buzzwords in resumes.
I've seen that. So
in LinkedIn profiles.
What are they?
And we do this. We did this in Canada, and creative was the number one overused word in Canadian LinkedIn profiles. Other terms included strategic, results driven, team player. You know, these are all things that you want to banish from your profile because they're generic, they're vague, they don't speak to you as a professional. So one of the examples I often give is if you're in sales, you wouldn't want to say, I am a strategic, results-driven, team-playing sales professional, because that could refer to anyone. What you would rather say is, I am a sales professional who has overachieved on my quota for 5 straight quarters. Because if you've done that, that says to someone who's looking at your profile, this is someone who achieves results. And that's right. a clear example.
And it's in context of what they did instead of a generic statement.
Exactly. Right?
So great. And that's great advice for a LinkedIn profile. Great advice also for a resume.
Yes.
What about having a separate, if not separate identity from your job, but at least a separate headline? Instead of saying hi, not hi, but you know, name and then position and organization. Separating yourself from the organization so that you have a professional profile. Who knows how long your tenure with that organization is going to last? Anything can happen. How important is it to present ourselves as professionals with our experience and our track record, but without connecting us so strongly with our employer, even in the headline?
I think it really is a personal choice. And I get this question a lot from members who are saying, you know, what if I want to just, you know, showcase who I am as a professional? I think there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's always that spot in your profile to put, you know, what your current job is and what your past jobs are. I think it depends on your goals, you know, what you want to achieve. A lot of employees of companies are actually acting as ambassadors for their companies of the employment brand. So, for example, if I work for IBM and I say I work for IBM, you know, a lot of companies are actually, you know, encouraging their employees to say, this is a great place to work. And if we want to encourage other candidates to come and work here, you know, we want you to be part of that process. But that's always the employee's choice. Right. So it really is up to you if that's something that you want to do. But I think first and foremost, you want to be thinking with a view to how you present yourself as a professional, because, as I said, you never know when your next opportunity is going to be needed or is going to come up.
Right. Great advice. We're talking to Danielle Restivo here from LinkedIn. She's the manager of corporate communications for Canada and Brazil. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, here on Career Buzz 89.5 FM or worldwide at CIUT.FM. If you do have a comment or question, give us a call at 416-946-7000, 946-7000, or Mark with a K at careercycles.com. Danielle, we have a few more minutes, and I want to... there's a few other areas here, but I want to ask you one more question here because I think it's of interest for a lot of listeners, and then come back to your personal career story. So we see a lot about recommendations, right? And it seems important, and you look at people's profiles and you see a number of recommendations from other people. How important do you feel it is to have a number of recommendations on your profile? And also, what's the etiquette if you do actually want to ask for a recommendation?
So I would say it's very important. And one of the little tips and tricks I'll share is that to get to a 100% complete profile, you need at least 3 recommendations. That's one of the sort of pieces we've built into the profile. So I think with recommendations, it really is about asking for what you want. So you can reach out to, you know, former colleagues, former managers, or even current managers. And, you know, I find that some recommendations tend to be a bit generic. So when I ask for a recommendation, I'm very specific. So I'll reach out to someone and say, you know, we work together. I would love it if you could recommend me, but if you could concentrate on the following areas, right? You know, that these are my writing skills, these are my communication skills, and how I am at managing business, for example. And, you know, I once had a former colleague write me a recommendation that said, I really brightened up the office and he especially loved when I brought in freshly baked cookies. And what can I say? I like to bake cookies, but that's besides the point. That doesn't really help me to get a job. So I went back to him and said, that is so sweet of you. But what I'm hoping is that, you know, we could actually talk a little bit more about this. And the great thing about recommendations on LinkedIn is that you have first right of refusal. So
yes.
If, you know, it's not exactly the way you want it, you can go back. One thing on etiquette I would say is that don't feel you have to get caught up in this back and forth. So someone recommends you and then you recommend them back. And then you recommend someone and they feel they have to recommend you back. And then it's this cycle that never ends. It is perfectly okay to recommend someone and say to them, you know what? You know, especially if you were their manager, we're good.
Yeah, that's
I've
it.
Recommended you. Yeah. You know, we're done. And you want to help them. And I think what's been nice for me is that I've had people recommend me when I didn't even ask them. They've just come out of the blue and sent me a note. And I've said, you know, that was really great of you. But you don't have to get into that cycle back and forth.
Right. And it's a nice thing to do for somebody else if you really feel
Absolutely.
Like somebody really helped you out, whether it's an employee or whether it's somebody you've worked with at another company. Go ahead and do that. And then that person can accept or reject the recommendation.
Yeah. And especially if you find out that person is unhappy in their position or they're looking for new work, great time to go in and give them that helping hand.
Right.
And
on.
Again, if you're you're always thinking that way with your network, that it's a cycle of helping each other, you're going to help them. You never know down the road when they may help you.
What's next for you and for LinkedIn?
Next for me, I'm going to keep working on that Portuguese so I can do more in Brazil. I'm really loving that. But really just, I'm excited to see how, you know, this site continues to grow. Already in Canada, we have over 5 million members. I want to keep educating Canadians on how they can get the most out of LinkedIn. So moving beyond the, I just have a bunch of invites in my inbox and I don't know what to do with them, to I updated my profile and I found my dream job. So that's kind of my goal. And over the next while, I want to continue that education and just get people feeling really engaged in the site.
And finally, Danielle, from your own career story and the things that you've done and what you've learned through the twists and turns that you shared with us at the beginning of the interview, what can you share with listeners that you've personally learned about making good career and life choices?
I think that having an education that is both theoretical and practical is so important. One of the things I wish had existed when I went to school was these programs that exist now where you can get a university degree and a college diploma at the same time. I think those are fabulous. And, you know, if I have children, I'm going to be pushing them to do something like that because I think they're so great. And then I think, you know, meeting as many people as you can and understanding where they're going to go and work and understanding what their passions are and keeping in touch with them is so vital, because really knowing people is where those jobs come from. I mean, job postings are not, you know, as they used to be, and it's getting more and more competitive to get a job in this market. So who you know is going to be your survival in the job market.
Right on. Great advice. Danielle Restivo, thank you so much for joining us here on Career Buzz.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a musical break and come right back with Career HMO founder JT O'Donnell. Stay tuned. Here's Feist from the album Metals, Get It Wrong, Get It Right. Thank you.
from the roots up. CIUT 89.5 FM, broadcasting live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. From Heart House, University of Toronto.
We're back at Career Buzz, and I'm your host, Mark Franklin. Before moving on to our next interview, I want to let listeners know there's an amazing archive of fabulous Career Buzz interviews, including the recent interview that we had, I think it was 2 weeks ago, when we spoke to Anne Lavery from 680 News in Toronto. And she told us a quite interesting career story of her broadcast career and how she translated her sociology degree into a broadcast career. Hundreds of fabulous interviews. If you go to careercycles.com, click the Career Buzz button and have a listen or have a look through the archives, you'll find some amazing career stories that will enlighten and inspire. J.T. O'Donnell is a career strategist and workplace consultant who helps North American workers of all ages find greater professional satisfaction. J.T. founded the career advice sites Career HMO and Career Realism. She's authored a book by the same name and hosts Career Realism TV, a career advice channel. I'm excited to have JT on Career Buzz. She's going to give us some insights into some career building best strategies and to share her own story of establishing herself in business and as a thought leader who's been cited in the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, New York Times, CNN.com, and many others. JT O'Donnell joins me live by phone from New Hampshire. Welcome to Career Buzz, JT.
Thank you for having me.
What do you like about your career these days?
Gosh, I love everything about my career these days. Primarily, I think it's that I'm doing work that feels right to me, that I enjoy doing, that I see results each and every day, that I feel good about the path that I'm on, and that also I think has longevity. This isn't a career that I see myself ending anytime in the near future. So I guess you put that all together, and it makes me a very happy career person.
And what is it that's making you happy? What are you doing on it in a typical week? What kinds of things are you doing?
Right. So as the founder of Career HMO and the website careerlism.com, I focus in on career media, all forms of it. So I have a pretty diverse week. With Career HMO, I'm one of the principal career coaches, so I spend time on the phone and via email working with our clients who are looking to advance their careers. I'm also creating a lot of career content, so I spend a lot of time writing and also doing video blogging, or vlogging as people call it, as a way to educate people on things they can be doing to enhance their career. So it's a very diverse week for me. I'm probably doing 15, 20 different things a day, but they're all related to career and development and the singular focus of helping people with the new rules to career development and career satisfaction.
And what strengths do you draw on thinking about your own career and being happy? We all know that using your strengths daily is a real key ingredient to your own career happiness. So what are those strengths that you're using daily?
You know, I think, first of all, I tend to be the glass is half full type of person. I like to be happy. I like to be in a good mood. And so I think that's one of my strengths. It gives me energy and the right outlook to do the work that I'm doing, for sure, because as you can imagine, I'm working every single day with people who are pretty unhappy. You know, and 84% of the population says they want a new job this year, and that's because they're not happy with the one that they're in. So the population I work with is generally not a jovial group. So you have to have that positivity and make it infectious, really. Make it something that they can then draw upon. So that never-ending sense of energy is pretty key. I also think you have to want to communicate. You have to be willing to put yourself out there, not be afraid to maybe say the wrong thing or have something come out the wrong way. You know, I have to talk and communicate all day long. And if I was worried about self-editing myself, I wouldn't be as effective. So I go into it knowing each and every day that I'll make some communication mistakes. But overall, I think the theme of what I'm trying to do will get heard. And that's pretty important. And I also think just a work ethic that I want to work, and that I do want to put, you know, at least 8 hours a day in, and oftentimes it's more, doing this, even if I didn't get paid. And I think that's hard for some people to wrap their head around, but a lot of the things that I do, they don't translate in any way to a bottom line, but they're important, and they have to be done. And if I was always worrying about that, then I don't think I would be able to have the success with this that I have today. So it's that passion for just doing the right thing. And with those things, and of course, loving the subject matter, just having been in it for a long time and wanting to study it constantly and read about it voraciously, I think all that together makes it possible for me to do this each and every day and not get tired of it.
Right on. It's so interesting to hear the things that you really like about it and the strengths that you're drawing on are these kind of personal qualities and mindset, like this positivity and a desire to communicate even when you know you might make some mistakes, you know, as opposed to naming all these specific skills that, you know, we're kind of trained to put in our resumes and our LinkedIn profiles and so on. So just really great to hear that it's a partly a mindset thing that really is making you, that you're using to be happy in your career.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's really at the core of this subject as a whole. You know, we're, for the last 20 or 30 years, there's been this focus on career success. And I often see people who are making career decisions to impress others. I mean, certainly everywhere you go, people, when they meet you for the first time, will often ask, you know, one of the top three questions is, so what do you do? And as a result, we culturally have started to focus on how do I answer that question in a way that will gather respect and earn admiration. But the reality is that the only person that needs to be impressed with your career and what you're doing every day is yourself. And if we can have the strength and courage to realize that and say, I'm going to do what's right for me, regardless of what other people think, and that's not easy to do in our society. But when we really do that, that all of those things that I mentioned and the way that I feel about my work, that happened when I drew a line in the sand and said, this is crazy. I'm not going to try to create a career so that other people admire it. I'm going to do what's important to me. I'm going to solve a problem that matters to me.
That's great advice. Thanks for sharing that. We're talking to JT O'Donnell here. She's the founder of Career HMO and Career Realism. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, here on Career Buzz 89.5 in Toronto and also worldwide at CIUT.fm. JT, just before we get some more advice about best practices in career management, what's your career story? What can you share with us briefly about what sort of twists and turns and turning points had led you into this career field and the work that you're doing now?
Sure. Well, it leads back to what I was just saying earlier. I did focus, firstborn type A personality, on, you know, pursuing a career path with a lot of success. And, you know, candidly, in a lot of ways, I guess I did have success. When I was 33, I was running a large division. I was staffing an HR firm, and I had all the perks and things like that. But I was really miserable. I was overweight, out of shape, high blood pressure, you know, in a brand new house I was never in, a husband I never saw, out of touch with family and friends. And I always admit to the fact that I found a note on my desk from my assistant that said, call your mom, it's important, and it was dated a week old. So I was really out of touch, too. And, you know, I had my first child with every intention of going back to work, but I remember looking into her eyes and realizing I was her teacher in life, and she was going to see right through this, and I was basically setting her up for more failure because I didn't like myself. So that's where my aha moment came. And I decided I was going to go back to the drawing board. And when I did, I couldn't find resources that worked with my sort of structured process. I'm an engineer by degree. And so I decided that between my HR background and this, that it was time to go out there and figure out the answer. And that really led me on the journey a little over a decade ago. And so I left the corporate world and got certified and started out primarily as a coach and built a methodology and wrote a book and then became a syndicated columnist. And that led to most recently me realizing that this needs to be much bigger, and we have the technology to do that. So I launched a website called careerism.com where we provide career advice, and then from there I launched a Career HMO. And Career HMO is a membership-based career coaching community so that people can subscribe for a very low rate and get career coaching support directly one-on-one from a career expert whenever they need it, 24/7. So it was a way for people, I believe everyone should have a career coach. Up until now, only usually people who had a lot of money could afford career coaches, and so the idea was to change the dynamic, change the capacity for people to get this help, and that's been my passion ever since.
It's a great story, JT, and one remarkable thing, you know, you mentioned you have an engineering degree. It's interesting. That's actually my background also. We're both in the career field. It's interesting to think about the mindset that you might have gotten from an engineering education, and can you just say a tiny bit about what did you get from that education? You know, you're working in a different field now, but, you know, all of these things accumulate, and what would you say were some of the key things that came out of an engineering education that helps you succeed even today in this different work?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, I always tell my parents, hey, guess what? I'm finally using that degree, believe it or not, because it's an engineering psychology degree. So it specializes in human factors and design. And for me, it's made me realize that human beings can't really be changed, you know, the way they do things. I know we say we can, but for some things, it's innate in them. And so for me, it was about building processes that worked for people, you know, really looking closely at how we can get the results they're looking for and adapting things to them. And so all of the tools and resources that I've built in the career space have been around that idea of, all right, if people aren't getting results, what are they doing wrong? How do we change the methodology? How do we change the approach, the mindset, the views? And that's very much what engineering is. Anytime we engineer anything, we're looking at solving a problem and building a better something. And we have to do that. We have to change our process. So, yes, I use that degree all the time.
That's great to hear. I know I feel the same way, JT, honestly, because I think it is really important to build these systems and processes, and that kind of systematic thinking can be very helpful in this whole world of career management. So turning to the world of career management, you know, here's you doing some excellent work trying to help a lot of North Americans gain greater career satisfaction, and yet hardly anybody knows about career management. They don't know the tools or the skills of career management. They don't even know that career professionals exist. Canada, there's research in Canada that says primarily when people have career problems, they go to friends and family first, they go to coworkers second, and career professionals are way down on the list. What are you seeing in terms of this kind of awareness, lack of awareness, or new awareness about the skills of career management?
Right. Well, you know, first of all, you know, I hate to say there's any kind of silver lining to a recessionary time, but obviously when you have a greater number unemployed, the idea of getting assistance when you're not finding work on your own becomes more visible. So I think for that reason, career management's becoming more important here. And at the same time, I just think that thanks to technology, people, you know, spend time online. They're getting access to more information and resources online that make them realize that this is out there. So I do see a big shift in that. The other thing that I think is good is that when I started in this business, you know, people, I would go to a party or an event, and I would tell them what I would do, and, you know, they would, you know, laugh or giggle or say, oh, so you get all the problem cases. And I think that there's this misconception that if you're going to a career coach or an advisor that it's because something's wrong with you. And that's been the case, that mindset, for a while, but that's shifting now. Now people are realizing that the most accomplished sports professionals or anyone that has a lot of success, the kind that they'd like to emulate, generally has probably more than one coach. I'm not talking mentor. I'm talking they hire coaches to help them. And so that kind of visibility, when people start giving, you know, recognition to their coaches, we all start to think, well, I need one too, because my goodness, you know, I was reading an article, Peyton Manning has three coaches. And I'm thinking, if Peyton Manning needs three coaches with all that talent, then we all need 10, you know?
Right.
And that's, for me, I think there's a big shift in that area. But I also think the ways in which we can deliver coaching have dramatically shifted. I mean, Career Chemo is a virtual career coaching site. You don't meet with us face-to-face. And that used to be how coaching got delivered. So this is very advantageous for both the coaches themselves, but also all the people out there that didn't think they could even utilize coaching for that barrier alone. So it drops geographic boundaries, it drops time boundaries, all these things, which makes coaching more accessible. And that's why I think the market is exploding and will continue to explode. And certainly my commitment is that everybody realize that just like you have a doctor or a dentist or a lawyer or an accountant, you should have a career coach for your entire life.
Right on. I'm a total believer. I've been trying to spread the same word here in Canada. We're talking to JT O'Donnell. She's founder of Career Sites, Career HMO, and Career Realism. Here on Career Buzz, I'm your host, Mark Franklin, 89.5 FM in the Greater Toronto area, and also worldwide online, ciut.fm. We welcome listeners, especially from the Association of Career Professionals International around the world. If you do have a comment or question for JT O'Donnell as we're talking, please email me. It's Mark with a K at careercycles.com, and we'll put your comment or question on the air. JT, you were just talking about this idea of more of a virtual coach, and I'd like to just check with you about how you see that working. People want help, and they often want help 24/7. What is the blend of what people want or what you see as effective in terms of delivering this kind of career coaching with respect to, you know, is it on phone or Skype? Is it by email? Or is there online resources that people can access when they want and only access the coach when they need extra help? What's that blended approach that you see effective?
Well, I think what really works well is a combination of pre-coaching tools in the form of digital assets like blog posts or articles, video tutorials, those sorts of things. Because if you have a coaching methodology, you generally can build out a set of materials that somebody would follow, a process they would follow. And you can direct them to these tutorials and say, look, go accomplish this first. Watch this video, complete these steps, and once you've done that, then it's time for us to have a conversation, or then it's time for you to email me what's going on. For me, that's been extremely effective at streamlining the amount of time that I spend coaching individuals, and that allows me to make sure that the time I do spend with them is really quality time, whether it's on the phone or by email or by Skype, like you mentioned. So that's the best way to do it, is to look at the process, and every coach out there has the process. They know that there are these steps that they take people through to get that the results they're looking for. So the more pre-coaching tools you have, the better, because you can really, again, like I said, direct people there and have that do the coaching for you and make an efficient use of your time. But that's also nice for the recipient, because we all work best at different times of day, you know, different days of the week. You know, to make, that's another barrier that I think has gone on for a while in terms of accessing career coaching, is that people are maybe working 40, 50 hours a week, and the last thing they feel like doing on their free time, you know, or on their weekend, or at night even, is to do, you know, career coaching work. But if we can all find a time that works for us and it's available 24/7, well, there you have it. And so in my practice, for example, people love that they can go in there and get their pre-coaching tools 24/7, drop an email off to their career coach 24/7, and know that they're going to get a response. Where I think the disadvantage can come in is if somebody's wanting something immediate, meaning I want an answer in the next 30 seconds. And candidly, I just don't know how that's possible in general anyways. If you were working with a career coach in person to try to run down to their office, it just doesn't work that way. So I will say that even in this situation, we guarantee people a one-day business turnaround on their emails and, you know, scheduling calls and that sort of thing. So there is still an immediacy there if they need something right away. But again, I guess that goes back also to the more coaching tools you have in the pre-coaching format, in the tutorial format, people can generally find an answer. And I will say, when I launched this, I thought, okay, here we go. I'm going to build this really inexpensive way, and I'm going to be inundated with emails and phone calls. And that didn't happen. And then I thought, well, is there something wrong? And I started reaching out to my members, and they said, no, it's just when we have a question and I need an immediate answer, I go inside the network, I type in my question in the search bar, and up comes 2, 3, 4, or 5, you know, posts or videos, and I watch those and I get what I need, and I only reach out to you, JT, when I really need you. So it's a very efficient process for, again, both the coaches themselves and the individuals if you build that blend.
Nice. That sounds like a really smart idea, JT. For career professionals who are listening, there's, I think, some wisdom there. And for individuals maybe seeking career help, that's a great idea. Find some of those resources, that pre-coaching, before you actually use the more expensive resource, but use it when you need it, which is the individual coaching sessions. So we're talking to JT O'Donnell here. She's founder of Career HMO and Career Realism, career advice sites. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on Career Buzz on CIUT 89.5 FM and CIUT.FM. JT, I don't know if you heard in the first half hour of the show, we had Danielle Restivo here, and she works at LinkedIn as expert in that field. And I know you've had a lot of articles and things about LinkedIn on your sites. Any thoughts or perspectives on the most effective way to use LinkedIn for your own career building?
Well, you know what? I think with any social media tool, and LinkedIn professionally is just, it's one of the best. What can we say? They've done an exceptional job. But what I think people forget is that we're all here to solve a problem. Companies hire us because we either save them or make them enough money to justify the cost of hiring us. In fact, I tell people we're not employees anymore, we're businesses of one. And so if you look at your LinkedIn profile as your business profile, as your marketing materials, it's not enough to say, I'm so great, or I do this or that. In fact, I listened to the first half hour and I loved everything that she was saying. But I would even take it a step further and say, create a theme within your LinkedIn profile. You know, the things that you're commenting on and posting every day in LinkedIn, have them be about a subject. Join the groups about a particular subject. Start a group about a particular subject where it's all focused on a problem that gets solved that financially is valuable to organizations that you would work with. If you become the subject matter expert, you're going to be worth more, you're going to be far more visible, and you're going to stay employable a lifetime. So give some strategic thought to the overall theme of the problem that you solve as it relates to LinkedIn.
Interesting. I have Danielle Restivo still here in studio. She works for LinkedIn. Danielle, you just heard JT O'Donnell share that idea of having a theme in your career, in your profile in LinkedIn. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it depends on the industry that you're working in or even the industry that you may aspire to work in. I talked with a professional recently who was working in the publishing industry and she wanted to move more into marketing. And so she started to build up her skills in that and build up her skills in social media. And the theme around her profile and all of her activities on LinkedIn started to be more about marketing, even though her background was something completely different. And she was able to find a job through kind of taking on that new theme and making it her own. So
really, so great idea, especially for career changers. JT, we just have a couple of minutes. For the career professionals listening here, you're a career business owner. You need to keep creative and innovative to keep attracting clients and keeping clients. What are some of the things that you found have worked for you, especially revenue generators from a career business point of view?
Oh, sure. I have to say the most important thing any career advisor can do right now is make sure that they have an opt-in list of some sort. They should create a call to action, and they should be driving any sort of traffic that they have online to this call to action where they opt in for an email list. And the reason for that is that there is so much distraction out there, right? We're inundated with information. So if you can get people to opt into your email list and you can start to regularly email them, you are getting their undivided attention. And I guess that's the second piece of this, which is please don't email them once or twice and then assume that they don't want to work with you. What I tell advisors is that if you have 100 people opt in for your list and you email them something and 2 unsubscribe and then 8 buy, so to speak, what you have is 2 that said no, 8 that said yes, and 90 that said not today. And if we know about sales, on average it takes about 9 contacts to make a sale. It is our obligation to continue to email people some information and some offers over time because humans are lazy. And so if we're not unsubscribing, we're just deleting it out of our inbox. But somewhere in the back of our mind, we're thinking, I might need that someday. And so we want to keep marketing ourselves. We want to keep getting in front of people, positioning ourselves as that career expert to them, because if they like what we're saying, there is going to be that day where your email's in their inbox and they say, today's the day.
Right on.
So don't give up on that process.
That's great advice. And finally, we're just almost out of time here, but can I come back to your personal career story, JT, and ask from the twists and turns, and you did share earlier in the interview the story of where you worked before and then you had a child and you came back and you started to really look for something different. From your own career story and the twists and turns in your story, what can you share with listeners about making good career and life choices?
I think, again, the most important thing to focus on is, you know, who are you trying to impress with the choices that you're making? And are they really in tune and in balance? You know, I think the whole idea of work-life balance is so elusive to us. We're trying to achieve it, but we don't understand. And I tell people there are 8 key areas of life that you need to be considering. So just make sure that you understand your priorities in life and that you're making decisions that meet those priorities that impress you. And it's so funny, we know it. We all do. When we're making a decision that isn't right, something deep in our core is telling us. So follow that, pay more attention to it, get as in tune as you can with your internal meter because it really is a great rudder and you will make much stronger decisions for yourself and you'll be a lot happier.
That's great advice. JT O'Donnell, thank you so much for joining us here on Career Buzz.
Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations here on CIUT 89.5 FM and CIUT.FM. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. You can find out more about me at careercycles.com. 2 other hosts of Career Buzz are Leanne Sachs at livinginthemoment.ca and guest host Mark Swartz at careeractivist.com. If you have comments or questions about today's show, please email me. It's Mark with a K at careercycles.com.